Morning, church. It's a little nerve-wracking, preaching for the first time. Well, second time now, but I want to tell you a little bit about me. You might know me as an intern, like Pete says, like I take out the trash, I do things they want me to do. I'm always running around, but I want to tell you a little bit about me. I like songwriting. I like skateboarding, and I'm passionate about my family. When I was growing up, my family taught me how to pray to God. I encountered God when I was a young child, and I would pray to him every night with my parents when they would come in and tuck me in. And I continued that growing up. But we live in a fallen world, and I strayed from the faith. It wasn't until my best friend reintroduced me to God when I was 17 years old that I started to get to know Jesus. I fully knew who he was. He died on the cross for me. He's my Savior. The disciples knew what it was like not to understand Jesus. There's many times during Jesus' teaching and parables that the disciples were confused. And the disciples also heard multiple reports of people being confused about Jesus. Today we're going to be in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, where it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus then asked, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So when we truly know Jesus, we have a firm foundation. Our text reveals three beliefs about Jesus. So let's go ahead and go through our text and find these beliefs. The first belief that will help us know that when we know Jesus, we have a firm foundation. The first belief is the crowds have mistaken Jesus as a resurrected prophet. So it's important to know that Jesus and his disciples are moving away from Galilee. 25 miles northeast to Caesarea Philippi. And the population there was primarily pagan Syrians and Greeks. They were worshiping false gods, the false god of Baal, false god of Pan, and Caesar. This is where Jesus decides to ask this question in verse 13. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples say, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. So Jesus has been using this expression, Son of Man. But what does Son of Man mean? It's referenced in Daniel chapter 7 to express a Messiah who rules with God forever. Jesus is using this expression to show his identity and his mission, to reveal it. And the disciples' answer to this question is pretty shocking. But it's in the expectation of Israel that a great prophet would arise. It's in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18 there. People mistook Jesus for John the Baptist because King Herod suspected that John had resurrected. This belief may have spread to other people. People mistook Jesus for Elijah because Jesus' miracles were similar to those of Elijah, leading people to believe he was the fulfillment of his promised return, of Elijah's promised return. People mistook Jesus for Jeremiah because his message and ministry was like that of Jeremiah's, as being rejected by Israel. Through this first belief about Jesus, we have seen that many have mistaken his identity. This reminds me of a story I've lived my entire life. As many of you probably didn't know, I have an identical twin brother. And growing up, we wore the same clothes, same haircut. See that picture right there, first day on the bus. People got us mixed up all the time. Wherever he went, I went, whatever. Wherever I went, he went. Reminds me of a time when we were in the third grade and we were graduating from speech class. We had our caps and gowns and we were celebrating outside our classrooms in the hallway. They were taking our pictures. And then an idea arose, a really funny, exciting idea. The idea that I would go into Levi's classroom and pretend to be him, while Levi goes into my classroom and pretends to be me. So I go in and I sit down at Levi's desk, and all of his friends and even his teacher, they didn't know what was going on. They just, oh, it's Levi, he's back from speech class. And class resumes as normal, and this was really funny to a third grade boy there. So I start laughing, you know. And everyone was like, why is Levi, you know, cracking up over here? Why is he? It wasn't until Levi opened up the classroom door and said, gotcha, that they knew something was up. They knew that I wasn't Levi. In a similar way, many were mistaken about Jesus' true identity. We have all mistaken Jesus' identity at one point in our lives. Maybe you've come to Jesus with assumptions about who he is. Maybe you know loved ones or close friends that have misconceptions about Jesus, and that's maybe confusing you a little bit. Wherever you are, it's important to know that Jesus is often mistaken. This will lead us to the answer of his true identity, who he truly is. Our first belief about Jesus in our text is that the crowds have mistaken Jesus' identity as a resurrected prophet. As we move through the rest of our text, we'll find more beliefs about Jesus. As we come to verses 15 and 16, it says, Jesus asks, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So here we come to another belief that will help us know that when we know Jesus, we have a firm foundation. The second belief is that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So like I mentioned before, the setting where Jesus and the disciples were at, a lot of false worship, false gods, Baal, Pan, and Caesar. It is here where Jesus asks another pivotal question, who do you say I am? And Peter once again steps forward. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's important to know that this is the first time anyone has used Christ to refer to Jesus directly. Christ is a title coming from the Greek term Christos, which is a translation of the Hebrew term for anointed. Anointed one came to be linked with King David because he was the anointed king of Israel. And throughout his rule, he had a few shortcomings. Even though he had a few shortcomings, God promised him, his house, and his throne that the throne of David would last forever. This became a fixture of hope for Israel. In Peter's answer, he expresses the Son of the living God. Why does he say this? He says this because he knows that the other people are worshiping fake, not real gods. Gods etched in stone. Our God is real. Our God is living. Son of the living God. He also, with his expression, Son of the living God, he acknowledges Jesus' special relationship to God. He has a special relationship to God that sets him apart. Jesus is the Messiah with a unique status as Son of God. Being the intern, I usually teach Sunday school during this time. We usually do like a 30-minute game, and then we do a lesson, kind of like an icebreaker. So I thought it'd be fun if we would all do a game together. So in a moment, I'm going to put some pictures of some well-known people on the screen. And I'm going to welcome some answers, the first thing that comes to your minds. Please help me out here, okay? I don't want to be standing up here just talking to myself. So once the picture pops up on the screen, you guys will describe the first thing that comes to your mind. So let's go ahead and put the first picture up there. Clint Eastwood, awesome. The man. Tough guy. Yep, good, bad, and ugly. So some words to describe Clint Eastwood. Western, tough guy, cowboy. Let's look at the next person. The Keen. Singer. Entertainer. Best clothes. Fashion statement, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Musician, singer, rock star. Let's go to the next person. Funny. Comedian. Actor. How about the next one here?
New neighbor.
What I had down was my boss. No, just joking. I had friend, Christ follower, teacher. What about Jesus Christ? What are some names and qualities of Jesus Christ? What was that? Love. Redeemer. King of Kings. Savior. Lord of Lords. Names like Savior, Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Anointed One. Qualities like loving, kind, gentle, compassionate, forgiving, merciful. These are the kind of answers Jesus was looking for from his disciples. Not only that, he was looking for these qualities in his disciples as well. At one point or another, we've had to figure out what we believe in. Or should I say, who we believe in. We've had to make that decision. Do we have the mindset of the crowds? Do we go along with the popular opinion? Or do we have the mindset of Peter and the disciples? That Jesus is the Messiah, Son of the living God. Something to think about is that Peter and the disciples traveled and spent considerable amount of time with Jesus. They did life with him. They did ministry with him. When we spend time with Jesus, then we start developing a relationship with him, and we get to truly know who he is. The public and their multiple reports were just spectators. They did not know Jesus, and they did not spend time with Jesus. They speculated who he was from afar. Maybe you're wondering who Jesus truly is, but you've been looking from afar. Maybe you've had distractions or sin pop up and lead you astray from encountering Jesus. Maybe you've unknowingly let small issues pop up between you and Jesus. Whatever the case might be, let me ask you this. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you spent time with Jesus to know truly who he is? Our second belief about Jesus in our text is revealed by Peter. Peter believes Jesus is the Messiah, Son of the living God. As we move through the rest of our text, we will find that this belief Peter has is connected to another belief. In verses 17, it says, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he orders his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. We come to our third belief that will help us in knowing that we have a firm foundation knowing Jesus. The belief that the church will be built on Jesus' divine identity. So after Peter makes this great confession about who Jesus truly is, Jesus in turn makes some declarations towards Peter. In verse 17, it says, Peter is a recipient of blessed revelation. Peter has been blessed personally by this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter acts as a spokesperson for the disciples. What Peter has already confessed has been confessed by the disciples already. And even though Peter is being singled out, he's not being set above the disciples, as he's not being set apart from the disciples. He's being a spokesperson, a representative. He's showing the common view. Peter and the rock is a well-known wordplay in Greek. Jesus says, "You are Peter," which is Greek for Petros. "And on this rock," which is Greek for Petra, "I will build my church." So Petros meaning a rock or a stone, while Petra means rock in the sense of substance or material. Jesus doesn't say, "You are Petros, and on this Petros I will build my church." Nor does he say, "You are Petra, and on this Petra I'll build my church." Rather, he says, "You are Petros, a stone, and on this Petra, rock, I will build my church." The rock on which God will establish his church is in the confession Peter has just made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. But certainly Peter becomes the leader of the disciples and the first spokesman for Christ. He lays the foundation in the early days of the church. His first initial sermon at Pentecost, when the church starts, 3,000 people come to Christ in one day. But he's not perfect. He's far from perfect. His faith falters. The church cannot be founded on humanity, but rather the church must be founded on the identity of Christ as Messiah. And finally, the last declaration is that Jesus gives Peter is he will have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever Peter binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter's mission is to give people access to the kingdom. He does this through his preaching. Peter is the one who opens the door of the kingdom to the Jews at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and finally to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. The keys refer to the fact that Peter is acting as a representative for Jesus, and he was the first to announce the message. The rabbis use these words, bind and loose. It meant for the rabbis to decide what was or was not permitted. So Jesus has given authority to Peter, but soon all the disciples will have that same authority. They're given the crucial role of preaching the gospel, presenting the gospel to the world. People who receive the gospel are loosed from their sins, and they have access to the kingdom of God. They can enter the open door, while people who reject the gospel are bound in their sin, which prevents them from going through that open door. Have you ever been at a grocery store and you're getting your essentials like eggs, bread, milk, gummy worms? That's an essential for me right there. And then you hear your name down the aisle, across the store, and you're wondering, who is that? Who's saying my name? So you're looking around and then you finally see them. Close friend, family member, and they're hurrying towards you to say hi and talk to you. And in that moment, you feel known. Maybe you think to yourself, someone in the store knows who I am. The cashier doesn't know who I am. The manager doesn't know who I am. In the same way, Jesus wants to be known by you. All of us want to be known. We all feel unknown at times, like our identity isn't clear to everyone around us. You might not know this, but Jesus fully knows and loves you. All he asks is for you to know him. So do you know him? Do you know him as a friend? As a savior? Knowing Christ's identity leads to solid foundation, not only in our faith, but from which the church can grow from. Today we have seen through our text that when we truly know Jesus, we have a firm foundation. We talked about the crowds mistaking Jesus for a resurrected prophet. We talked about Peter's correct answer, that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of the living God. And we talked about how the church will be built on Jesus' divine identity, which is firm foundation. Jesus says in Matthew 7, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So just like Peter's great confession of Jesus as Messiah, when we truly know Jesus, we have a solid foundation. Like I said, not just for the faith, but for the church to grow and to prosper, to expand into the world. Let's spend more time with Jesus. Let's get to know him even more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we have the opportunity to get to know you, that you have revealed your identity to us, your true identity. Keep distractions away from us. Keep false accusations of your identity away from us, but help us recognize them. Lord, be with us. Give us the reassurance that in you we have a firm foundation. Lord, bless today, bless tomorrow, bless the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.